For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. This week marks the 75th anniversary of decisive battles fought by the Army's 10th Mountain Division in Italy during World War II. Area listeners are likely most familiar with the division because it is now based at Fort Drum in northern New York. But when it was created, the division was based out west. I spoke with Morris Isserman, a Hamilton College professor and author of The Winter Army, The World War II Odyssey of the 10th Mountain Division, America's Elite Alpine Warriors. We started by discussing where the idea for American mountain or ski troops came from.
Well, it didn't come from the Army. It came actually from a group of enthusiastic amateur skiers meeting in Vermont in 1940. They were having a drink after the days on the slopes. And they included a guy named Charles Minot Dole, Minnie Dole, who was the founder of the National Ski Patrol System in the early 30s. This was an era when very few Americans skied. The first ski resorts were just opening up. The first tow ropes and chairlifts were just going in. So it was a very elite activity and little understood or practiced by the public as a whole. But this group of skiers, some of whom had competed in the 1936 Winter Olympics, were looking at the news from Europe. Europe was at war, and thinking that the United States was inevitably going to be drawn into the war. And they were concerned that our likely enemies, the Germans and the Italians, had a long tradition of alpine troops, of mountain troops. Their borders were defined by mountain ridges. And the United States had nothing comparable, no comparable tradition. The United States Army had never fought a battle on a snowy mountain. And so Minnie Dole, who was nothing if not self-confident, he was an insurance executive from Greenwich, Connecticut, wrote a letter to President Roosevelt and said, you know, we should look into this. And Roosevelt, amazingly, given all his other concerns, responded and referred it to the Secretary of War, to the Army Chief of Staff. And it took another year and a half, but Minnie Dole's vision of mountain troops who would be recruited from the ranks of American skiers, because he thought it would be easier to make soldiers out of skiers than skiers out of soldiers. And the National Ski Patrol acted as a recruiter for the Army, resulted in the establishment of the 87th Mountain Infantry Regiment in November of 1941, so just a couple of weeks before Pearl Harbor. And that became the kernel of the center of what grew into the U.S. Army 10th Mountain Division.
And how did the division end up being based in Colorado? Can you take us through that?
They were originally based at Fort Lewis and trained on Mount Rainier nearby. But among other problems, Mount Rainier is a national park, and you can't discharge firearms in a national park. So it's not an ideal place to train men for combat. So instead, the Army, in the course of 1942, constructed an entirely new base at about 9,000 feet in an alpine valley near Leadville, Colorado, surrounded by 14,000 foot mountains. Some of the highest mountains in Colorado were within a half day's drive. The 10th Mountain Division moved in to this new camp, growing to the strength of 15,000 men roughly, in 1942-43, and that's where they trained down until the spring of 1944. So they trained in the cold. Obviously, the winter lasts a long time there. It was the best place in the world during World War II to learn how to ski, because many of the best ski instructors in the United States, many of whom were European exiles, were part of the 10th Mountain Division and in charge of the ski instruction.
And in your book, you detail that during their training, the 10th Mountain Division, partly because of the conditions that they were training in, and also the members, as you just mentioned, were some prominent skiers, they're rather celebrated in the press, right?
They were lionized as the ski soldiers, and Hollywood made a movie based on the training of the 10th Mountain, and there were documentary films about them, and they were featured in advertisements so forth. So they were glamour boys in a way. You know, they tended to come from elite backgrounds, or at least well-educated backgrounds, who skied in the 1930s, mostly people who went to colleges and universities in places with a lot of snow, like Dartmouth, say, or Williams College in the Northeast, or the University of Oregon and the University of Washington. That was part of their image as well, which didn't always play well with the Army. The Army couldn't figure out what to do with these guys. They sort of thought this was just fancy-pants skiers who weren't going to do well once they got into a combat situation. And again, because they're a mountain infantry division, they look different. They don't have as many jeeps. They don't have as many trucks. They use mules to bring their supplies up into the mountains. So for a long time, it looked like they weren't going to get into the war at all. They were just going to be in Colorado skiing, which they didn't want to do. I mean, many men who trained with the 10th transferred out to get into airborne units or military intelligence because they felt it was their duty to go to war.
Eventually, though, the division is sent to Italy during World War II. Can you detail the experiences of the division there?
Yeah, well, finally, it dawned on someone in the Pentagon that the war in Italy was a war in mountains. There were brief moments, summer of 1944, when the Allied advance broke out of one set of mountains, broke through one set of German defenses around Monte Cassino, for example, captured Rome, captured Florence, but then they ran into another set of mountains, the northern Apennines, where the Germans had constructed a very stout defense line called the Gothic Line, and once again held up through the winter the further Allied advance. Beyond the northern Apennines lies the Po Valley, which again is open, and when you have open land, it worked to the Allies' advantage because they could bring in their superiority in armor and air. But as long as they were tied up in the mountains, there was going to be no breakthrough. So finally, in December of 1944 and January of 1945, 75 years ago, the 10th Mountain Division was shipped from the East Coast to Naples, where they disembarked and then went up to the front line. And what they confronted there were two high peaks or series of peaks, one called Riva Ridge and the other called Mount Belvedere. And they were the key pieces of high ground where the Germans could block any further Allied advance. The Mount Belvedere overlooked one of the few roads that pierced the northern Apennines. And 75 years ago, February 18th, 19th, 20th, 10th Mountain Division employing their specialized training, particularly their rock climbing training, their ability to fight in cold weather, their fitness from all of that skiing in Colorado, stunned the Germans. On the night of February 18th, 19th, 700 men from the 10th Mountain Division scaled a nearly sheer cliff. I've stood below that cliff and looked up, and I think in February when it's icy, the Germans didn't even bother to defend the cliff. They were so sure that they couldn't be attacked from that side. But the 10th, using their mountain climbing skills, got up the cliff, surprised the German defenders on top of Riva Ridge, captured the ridgeline with only suffering a single man wounded. The Germans would counterattack, as they always did, in the days to come, and other men would die. But it was a stunning military success, and that was followed by the attack on Mount Belvedere, the main target, by the rest of the division, so 10, 12,000 men. And they suffered high casualties, but not as high as the Army thought. And in 5 days, they captured and secured the Belvedere Massif, these three mountains that are linked together, when Army planners had thought it would take them 2 weeks. And once they were up there on the high ground, that set in motion the possibility of further advance. And beginning in mid-April, the 10th led the advance from the Po Valley to the Alps. They were always in the front. They were the sharp end of the spear, and they never failed to take an objective they were given, and they were never driven off an objective that they had captured. So for a group of, skiers who were looked down on, they were just society boys or overeducated college boys, they really accomplished a great deal in their short time in combat. And paid a heavy price because of the 15,000 men who went over. Close to 1,000 were dead, and 4,000 more were wounded before the war in Italy came to an end at the beginning of May.
What role did the 10th Mountain and its relative success in Italy play in overall Allied victory?
Well, the decisive theater in Europe was in Western Europe and then in Eastern Europe, the Red Army advancing across the German border. By the time the 10th got to Italy, the Red Army was 60 miles from Berlin. Americans were rolling back the German gains from the Battle of the Bulge, and this pincer operation. The Germans are being squeezed between the two advancing armies. So when Berlin fell, that was going to be the final victory. Italy had been referred to for a long time as the Forgotten Front. I mean, once the invasion of Normandy began in June 1944, the day after Rome fell, by the way, to the Allies, that's what people wanted to read about. That's what the newsreels were about. And the fighting went on, and the dying went on in Italy. But it no longer seemed to be the most important part of the story. What the Allied intelligence feared was that the Germans would stage a last-ditch battle in the Alps, the Alpine Redoubt, they would refer to it, or Allied intelligence referred to it. That turned out to be a myth, but it's hindsight that tells us that. So the advance, further advance in Italy, they weren't going to stop the offensive, even though the main theater was in Germany, because they couldn't take the risk of allowing the Germans to consolidate a position in the Alps, withdrawing their troops from Italy back into Austria, for example, through the Brenner Pass. So the advance in April and May was meant to forestall that possibility. Moreover, American military doctrine since the Civil War has been to advance on the enemy on as many fronts as possible, tying down troops who could otherwise be, say, withdrawn from Italy and sent to fight the Americans in Belgium or in France.
And not long after the end of World War II, I believe it was 1948, the 10th Mountain Division was deactivated. Why was that?
Well, it was actually deactivated in 1945, and the United States went from having an army of 8 million men in 1944-45 to an army of about a million just 2 years later. So it was one of many divisions that stood down, and the army had never still, even after the 10th, successes in Italy, was not fully sold on this idea of mountain warfare. However, the 10th Mountain Division was reconstituted in 1985 and is based at Fort Drum, not far from where I teach at Hamilton College in upstate New York, and in recent decades has been the most frequently deployed division in the Army. Because of the nature of the places where the Army has been called upon to fight in Iraq, in Afghanistan, on rough terrain, often in cold weather. I was up at Fort Drum a few weeks ago giving a book talk to a group of soldiers who were interested in their predecessors in the earlier 10th Mountain Division and who already had their orders to deploy to Afghanistan, and they must be there by now. So it was a moving experience for me to get to talk to these young soldiers about what their fathers and grandfathers, literal or otherwise, had accomplished in 1945.
Some of the World War II veterans of the 10th Mountain Division went on to become major players in the U.S. outdoor recreation world, right?
Absolutely. They basically created the modern ski industry. They took, there was a small ski operation in Aspen, which was about 75 miles from Camp Hale, where they trained in Colorado, and it were 10th Mountain veterans who turned Aspen into Aspen. It was the 10th Mountain veterans who created Vail. There was nothing there, and turned it into one of the world great ski resorts. In fact, the longest and most difficult ski run in Vail, where I gave a book talk not long ago, is named Riva Ridge. And there's another one called Minnie's Mile, named to honor Minnie Dole, the National Ski Patrol system director who first suggested the idea of mountain troops to the military.